There really are so many scams this week. We need a government subsidy to cover them all, like the $11 billion diesel fuel rebate scam. Unfortunately, we're a small Australian business and not a foreign multinational gas exporter, so we won't be privy to subsidies like that, or the kind of subsidies that Rupert Murdoch gets from the government either, thanks to the Digital Media Bargaining Code. But let's kick it off with the scam. Well, we can't give it to Donald Trump. Do you like the T-shirt? It's actually Dolce Terra, a local cafe. It's not Donald Trump, but it's orange, and we thought we'd wear it in memory and commemoration of Donald Trump, who is the world's greatest scam artist. He scammed his way back into the White House this week despite being a convicted felon. Wow, what a guy. So the US election, we can't give Scam of the Week, this prestigious award, to Donald Trump, of course, because, you know, we don't give it to foreign nationals. Otherwise, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu and Keir Starmer would have won it by now. But nonetheless, the reverberations from the Trump victory have thrown up many scams. There's a lot of 2020 hindsight going on by the punditry. We knew Trump was going to win after the votes were counted. It's a tough gig, this blathering on about what you think about the world, your opinions. Now, the Albo government, we've got to give them a bit of a thumbs up here because they cut student debt costs by 20%. It's a good move because education should be free. It's good for the economy. But of course, the Fin Review and the Australian were up in arms about it. It was outrageous. These handouts to students. You never hear boo from these guys in the financial press when it comes to handouts to multinational companies or multinational tax dodging, any of that stuff. When it comes to giving money to students for education, that is just an outrage. Crickets, otherwise, when it comes to giving money to big business. Elsewhere in the world of scams, we go down the age scale a bit from those students, the 20-somethings, down to the teenagers, who now face a ban. It was announced this week, a ban on social media. If you're under 16, too bad. Social media, I mean, what a ridiculous policy, banning things. Surely it's just got to be the family that deals with these issues like social media, not Big Brother. So we're talking Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat. No more looking at those bodies of amputated children in Gaza for you people. Who else? Reddit, I guess. YouTube, even. Michelle Rowland, the communications minister who's presiding over it. YouTube would likely fall within that definition as well, said Michelle. So there's no YouTube for you young people. Forget about YouTube. However, you may still watch gambling ads at every ad break on the free-to-air television, which we control. You can watch gambling ads, but you're not allowed to go on social media to see what's going on in the world. Maybe you can just go down and buy newspapers. Maybe that's the go. Back to the future. It's a big break for the kids. You can be locked up when you're 10 years old. You can spend 6 years in prison, technically, before you're allowed on social media. Now, isn't it amazing how quickly the Albo Qantas upgrade saga, that scandal, dissipated? If you go and check out on the website QED, just type that into the search bar, you'll see 100 rorts there from the coalition years. We haven't updated it for Labor. There's a few Labor stars in there, rorting travel and so on. But basically, it's just this cavalcade of coalition rorts, because the rorts were so thick and fast under the previous regime. But it's no wonder that it died down, of course, because they all do it. And suddenly all this mudslinging was taking its toll. And there's good old Bridget McKenzie, previous winner of Scam of the Week. Bridget was fuming about Albo's flight upgrades. Then suddenly, oh, 16 flight upgrades that Bridget had not previously disclosed. Good old Bridget. Anyway, we won't be hearing much about this mudslinging anymore because, of course, they don't want to be opening that can of worms about flight upgrades and Qantas lounge, all the perks. It just would never end. David Pocock, the independent senator, in the upper house, doing a great job as usual. We thought he was just a great rugby player, good in the ruck at procuring turnovers for the Wallabies, but he's getting a few turnovers down there in Parliament as well. He was really on fire this week. Very impressive in Senate estimates, holding the torch with David Shoebridge and other independents. Greg Moriarty, the head of defence, the head defence bureaucrat, revelations of a small group of senior people leaking to the media. On the face of it, breaching Section 73A of the Defence Act. Who's going to go to jail for that? Because that's what they sent David McBride to jail for. We'll take that question on notice. So David McBride, of course, goes to jail, but of course nobody in defence is going to go to jail for doing exactly the same thing in terms of legal technical breaches. There we go, the good old double standard. Now, in the wake of the Trump victory, David Shoebridge, Jenny McAllister in Senate estimates. Jenny had to bear, one of my favourite senators, Jenny, the Labor senator, she got the Shoebridge treatment this week. David Shoebridge said, now there's thousands of US troops stationed in Australia, US spy bases in Australia, there's Pine Gap, US nuclear submarines in Australia, US nuclear bomber jets in Australia, coming to Australia. How comfortable are you, asked David of Jenny, now that Donald Trump, somebody so erratic, is in the White House controlling all this? To give Jenny credit, she did not say that she was not uncomfortable, but she batted it away deftly. Very clear, she said. We're very clear about how we're going to approach this very important relationship. Yes, they're all doing it this week. We're going to kiss the Donald's ring. That's what we're going to do. Every one of us will kiss the ring of the Donald. Now, the RBA, finally, the RBA. So they held rates on Tuesday, Melbourne Cup Day, of course. They held rates steady, even though inflation has fallen into the target band, down from 6.1% when Labor took office to 2.8%. We won't go into trimmed means, but the RBA came out with a statement justifying it. You know, employment growth is very strong. And guess what? They blamed it on the students. They blamed it on the foreigners and the students. This is the statement. Growth in output has been weak. Past declines in real disposable incomes and the ongoing effect of restrictive financial conditions continue to weigh on household consumption, particularly discretionary consumption. However, growth in aggregate consumer demand, which includes spending by temporary residents, such as students and tourists, has remained more resilient. There you go. Blame it on the students. Blame it on the foreigners, those immigrants. Unbelievable. Somebody should tell the RBA that companies actually set prices, and the prices going up is inflation, but it's companies that actually set prices. It's not foreign students, foreigners or students. It's just a small point. That's what inflation is, though. I thought the RBA should know. Somebody should tell them, because they never blame the companies, though, do they? Talking about companies, Joe Longo was before estimates this week. Longo. Chairman of ASIC, mighty regulator than ASIC. Anyway, Joe Longo said, no conflict of interest. Yeah, we're in the chairman's lounge, you know, the NAC guy, the complete dud that's NAC. Chairman of NAC's in there as well. But Joe Longo said in estimates to David Pocock, he said, yeah, there's no conflict of interest there. David, of course, said, well, what are you going to do, recuse yourself? And he said, no, we just deal with it, you know. Of course it's a conflict of interest, and that's why the Rort saga over the Arbo flight upgrades has died down, because all of them are there. Qantas owns the lot of them. Of course it's a conflict of interest, but of course they don't see it that way. They see it as a perk. So there you go. But scam of the week, we're going to have to give it to Bridget again. Being so cantankerous about Albo's flight upgrades and suddenly having to declare no less than 16 upgrades herself. Come on down, Bridget. You have won. Scam of the week.